Genesis chapter 12, and to get us started, I want to read the first three verses, and if you would, stand with me as we read. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, again, I'm grateful that we're all able to assemble here this evening. Amen. And I pray that as your word is read and preached from, that you would receive glory. I pray that we would understand tonight the significance of this last little statement that we read, and that we would understand that you desire to bless us through Jesus Christ. Yeah. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. In our series on salvation, we have stayed thus far in the book of Genesis, and we've looked at some things that you can learn about salvation in Genesis chapter 3 and what the Bible says about Adam and Eve. They were naked after they sinned and in need of a covering. Good works, we said by application of that text, are not sufficient to save us. Their fig leaves were not good enough. Therefore, God made them garments of His choosing. We also said by application of that text that a blood sacrifice of an innocent being is necessary to save us of our sin. And then also in that text we said that God is looking for sinners. He was looking for Adam and Eve, and He's looking for us. In Genesis chapter 4 we looked at Cain and Abel and some things that we learn about salvation from that text. We said that many seek God and His salvation because both Cain and Abel, a wicked man and a righteous man, sought God and brought to Him an offering. Many seek God and salvation in a way contrary to His word. And that was the case with Cain as he brought the fruit of his hands rather than a blood sacrifice. And many, we said lastly, seek to destroy those who embrace the God of the Bible and biblical salvation. Cain slew Abel, and those that preach a works gospel have always persecuted those that preach the Bible's gospel. Right. And then last week we looked at salvation and what we can learn about salvation from Noah and the ark. And we said in that particular text, Genesis 6 through 9, that judgment came as a result of sin, just like it does in our own lives. But God, He provided to Noah a means of escape, just like He provides to us a means of escape from the judgment that we deserve because of our sin. And then we also said these two things, that the ark, God's means of provision, had only one door, and Jesus Christ is the door by which we gain salvation. Amen. And it also says that the Lord shut that door. He was the one that shut the door of opportunity to enter in. And likewise, it's the Lord that will shut the door of opportunity for us to be saved. And so we need to take advantage of the invitation that God has extended now. And if you're not saved, you need to be saved now.
Amen.
Because you never know what might happen. The Lord may come.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Death may come.
Right.
Something may happen to you that impairs you from saving faith. And what I mean by that, I was thinking as the gentlemen were talking about the nursing home service, you know, sometimes people reach a point in their life where they no longer have all of their mental capabilities.
Right.
And sometimes that becomes too late to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. So there are lots of good reasons to get saved now.
Amen.
And that's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right. And if the Lord's dealing with your heart, you need to be saved. Well, I want to preach this evening again on the subject of salvation, but this time by looking at the man Abraham, and more specifically, a promise that God gave to him here in Genesis chapter 12. You know, as I thought about the subject of salvation and the book of Genesis, I discovered that the subject of salvation is discussed, is found just about everywhere. I mean, you have Genesis chapter 1 and 2, really just two small chapters, giving to us how God created the universe. That's a logical place to begin with in the Bible. But then, so you don't get too far before you see salvation on display in Genesis chapter 3, with God killing an animal and taking the skins of that animal and making coats for Adam and Eve. There's the first example of biblical salvation given to us in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 4, again, we see Cain and Abel offering up a sacrifice, and those sacrifices, or at least Abel's sacrifice, pointed to the once and for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 5, you have a genealogy, and then Genesis chapter 6, we have God illustrating for us biblical salvation through the story, through the account of Noah and the ark. And that story, that account, extends all the way up to Genesis chapter 10, where we have another genealogy. And then in Genesis chapter 11, we have the confusion of the tongues, the Tower of Babel. And then here we are again in Genesis chapter 12, when we find again the gospel presented to us. And I think what you'll find as you study the Bible from cover to cover, that salvation is the prominent subject of the Bible.
Amen.
I think if you look hard enough, you'll find it just about everywhere. And so it ought not to be surprising to us that we could spend so much time in the book of Genesis.
Amen. That's right.
Discussing the subject of salvation. One man said the book of Genesis is divided into two main sections. The first 11 chapters deal with the history of the human race, and the last 39 chapters with the family of Abraham. Thus, in the 12th chapter, God turns our attention from the rebellious humanity recently scattered by the judgment of Babel to this one family through which the Savior of the world would ultimately come.
Amen.
And that individual is Abraham, and that family is his. So notice here in Genesis chapter 12 that God first calls Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram." God calls Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia. And you notice there, you find the word had, as though this is in past tense. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," at some point in the past. And if you look at with me at Acts chapter 7, I believe that more details are given to us of actually how this call and Abraham's subsequent obedience transpired. Because it isn't, as it appears maybe in Genesis chapter 12, to be automatic and immediate. Here in Acts chapter 7, Stephen is about to give a history lesson to the Jews to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says here in verse 2, "Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Charan," or Haran, which was the city of his father. But God appeared to Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia. And that is when God told Abraham, I believe, to get out of his country and get away from his kindred and from his father's house and go to a land that God would show him. But Abraham doesn't respond or doesn't obey, it appears, immediately. He does leave Mesopotamia, and he goes with his father and his kindred, his family, to Haran. But it's not until his father dies, if you look at verse number 4, it says, "Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, He removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell, which would be the land of Canaan, Israel. But Abraham's obedience was somewhat delayed. And it appears that his obedience only took place after the death of his father. So he's in Mesopotamia, moves with his father to Haran, and when his father dies, he finally is obedient to the call of God. Now there's probably a lot of applications that we can make from that. Some people say that it wasn't until Abraham was completely obedient to God's call that he spoke to him again. And that seems to be what you find in the book of Genesis. God gave him a command. And until he was obedient to that command, he didn't reveal himself to Abraham again. And whether or not that is entirely true, I think it's an important point for us to consider. When God gives us a command, when he calls us to some form of service, some duty specifically, we need to follow through with what he's commanded us. Because until we do that, he's probably not likely to direct us to the next step that we're to take. And so again, I just point this out because it is mentioned here in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said unto Abram, he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. And someone might wonder why God required that of Abraham. Well, it is said that Abraham's house was filled with idolatry. His kindred were idol worshippers. And if Abraham was to truly follow God, he would have to divorce himself from that type of setting, those types of surroundings. And so God says, get away from thy father's house. But it's not until his dad's death that he leaves. Sometimes family relationships can hinder us from serving the Lord. They really can. There's a lot of parents that would be saddened to see their children go off to the mission field. I've heard some of them say it with their own lips. It's not something that they prefer for their child, even if that's what God wants them to do, because they don't want to part company with their children. But again, the tasks and the missions that God give us are much, much more important.
Amen. Yeah.
Than even our family relationships. Don't misunderstand that. Unless you've got your family in order, you understand you can't really serve God effectively.
Right.
But in regards to leaving the homeland, if that's something that God requires for us in order to serve Him where He would have us to serve, then we need to be willing to do that.
Right.
And God says, Abraham, if you will obey me, if you will leave your homeland and go to a land that I will show you, I'll make you some promises.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we find in verses 2 and 3. But before we look at those promises, just think for a moment with me about what God asked Abraham to do. Because it's mentioned specifically in Hebrews chapter 11.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, he left. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be critical, understand, of Abraham in his delayed obedience and him waiting for his father to die. His actions probably are no different, probably much better than actions that I've taken in the past. But what he does here is amazing, because he leaves his homeland, leaves everything that he's familiar with, and heads off to who knows where.
Right, preacher.
God didn't tell him.
That's right.
Where he was sending him. He says, I just want you to go to the place that I will show thee. And you see why Abraham is mentioned in the Hall of Faith? Because this was an act of faith. And again, there's wonderful applications that can be made from this, because God says to us, Jesus says to each and every one of us, follow me. Follow me. Believe on me. If you'll believe on me, if you'll follow me, you know what? I'll take you to a land that you've never seen, but it's a land of milk and honey. It's heaven.
Yeah.
All right? We've not seen it.
Right.
Not with our eyes. We've not walked upon it. Not with our feet. We just have to take God's word at it. We just have to believe by faith that if we trust Jesus as our Savior, He'll give us that land that's flowing with milk and honey. But he says to Abraham, Abraham, if you'll listen to me, he says, I will make of thee a great nation. And God did do that, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
It's interesting, though, that it took some time for that promise to come to fruition. And it didn't really come to fruition in Abraham's life, did it? Abraham didn't birth the 12 patriarchs. No, he was the grandfather of the man that birthed the 12 patriarchs. So he never got to see this nation come to fruition, but it did nonetheless. And I highlight that just to illustrate that sometimes the promises that God has given to us take some time to come to pass.
Yes, they do.
I mean, the majority of the promises that God has given to us are eternal promises and refer to our existence in heaven.
Right.
And so we'll not see them in this life, just like Abraham. It's not until we die or the Lord comes that those promises come to fruition. He says, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. You know, it's interesting when you look back at the chapter preceding this chapter, there at the Tower of Babel, what did they want to do?
Yeah.
They wanted to build this giant tower and make a name for themselves.
Yeah.
But we don't know any of their names. But we know Abraham's name.
Yeah.
You see, they sought, men sought through their own means and mechanisms to make a name for themselves, and they fell flat. Abraham, you know what? He just followed God, and you know what? God made him great. God made his name great.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. Be like David, as I've said often. Don't seek promotion.
Amen.
God brings it to pass, so be it.
Yes, sir.
But don't seek it. He says, and thou shalt be a blessing. And we'll see a little bit here how Abraham was. But verse 3 it says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And a lot of people still believe that this is in practice, in place today. You know, God said to Abraham, if someone blesses you, I'll bless him. If someone curses you, I'll curse him. And a lot of people feel that America is still the greatest nation in the world, in part because of her treatment of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Which, if that's true, it's a scary thing to see what's transpiring now with the new president. Because
right.
The folks that the Jews feud with over there in Israel used to be considered a bunch of fanatical terrorists. That's not how they're viewed by the liberal population in America today. And then notice the last phrase of verse 3, which is really what I want to focus on tonight. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You know, in that statement is found the gospel.
Amen.
Look with me at the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 8. This here is the New Testament interpretation of that passage of Scripture. I always love it when we have an Old Testament passage and a New Testament interpretation, because there can be no misunderstanding what is meant.
Amen.
And as you look at Galatians here in chapter 3 and verse 8, we'll look at the context of this here in just a moment, but just notice verse 8 for now. And the scripture that's being referred to is Genesis 12:3. For seeing, you see, the scriptures are prophetic.
Yeah, amen.
For seeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the scriptures knew, because of course they were being written by God,
right,
how God intended to save the heathen, the Gentile nations. Since God knew that, since the scriptures knew that, they preached before the gospel. Okay?
Right.
So it says the scriptures preached the gospel.
Amen.
Unto Abraham. When did they do so? How did they do so? Saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So as you look at that verse and you look specifically at that phrase, we find the gospel. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Notice here in this chapter of the book of Galatians, it begins by saying, O foolish Galatians,
yes, sir,
who hath bewitched you? And I think most of us are familiar enough with our Bible in the book of Galatians to know that this book of the Bible was written to a group of believers who had begun to embrace a works gospel. They embraced salvation by faith when the Apostle Paul had first preached to them. But now the Judaizers had come in and they had begun to espouse their works gospel, their works religion, and the Galatian believers began to embrace that gospel. They began to accept it. And the Apostle Paul says to them that they were foolish,
right,
and that somebody has tricked them. He says in verse 2, this only would I learn of you. He asks them a question because he knows how they should respond. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Mm-hmm.
How did they receive the Spirit of God? As a result of what? Obeying the law? No. It was their faith in Christ.
Amen.
That granted to them the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. And so he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. You don't lay the law on top of grace.
Amen.
He says, you don't do that, but that's what the Judaizers were attempting to do. And so you see, anytime someone tries to add something to the saving gospel, to the free gift that God offers us, they are preaching a perverted gospel.
Right, right. Amen.
I mean, I believe strongly that believers ought to be obedient to God, but I don't believe it is a part of their salvation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe if someone is disobedient in an area, they lose their salvation. I just think somebody that's saved has a desire to obey God.
Amen.
Notice verse 5, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, during the times of the apostles, men were performing wonderful miracles. How were they doing that? Through the works of the law? No. Through the power of the Spirit that they received by faith. And then it says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And we'll talk about that in one of our messages to follow. But then he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, if you've put your trust in Him, you've repented of your sins, you've become a child of God, and thereby you've also become a child of Abraham. Because you followed in His footsteps. He walked by faith. He believed God. And as a result of his belief in God and what God told him, he became righteous. And if you have believed in what God has told to us of his Son, Jesus Christ, in his word, you too have become a child of God. And in essence, a follower of Abraham. So just understand that is the context in which this verse is given to us. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. Notice the emphasis of this whole chapter is on faith.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Faith, which is simply believing. The scriptures back in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 were indicating to you and I that God was going to save the Gentiles, the heathen, by faith, just like he saved the Jews, just like he saved Abraham.
Amen.
In thee, he says, shall all nations be blessed. You know, verse 9 is our memory verse this month. It was one we used in Vacation Bible School. It says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are blessed with faithful Abraham. Why? Because they too believed God. You see, when we read this statement back here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, and especially now that we see that it is a declaration of the gospel, we should ask ourselves, how is it that all the families of the earth, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed by and through Abraham? How is that? Well, again, as we look at the scriptures, we know that it's the result of his seed,
right,
of his lineage, of his offspring, because it's through Abraham that Jesus Christ is brought into the world.
Right.
Through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his son, and his son, and his son, all the way down to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look with me at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. In verse 24. Notice it says here, and this, let me give you some of the context. If you look back at verse 1 of chapter 3, it says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." Here they were going up to the temple. The audience in this particular chapter is Jewish. As they went to the temple, I think most of us realize they healed this lame man that was there asking for alms. He wanted money, but they gave him something much more valuable. They gave him his legs back, and he was able to walk. And of course, not everybody liked what was transpiring amongst Jesus' disciples, and so they questioned them on it. And here in verse 24, Peter is speaking to the Jews, and he says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." Notice he says here that Samuel, and it includes him amongst the prophets, and all of the prophets since him have foretold of the days in which Peter here was living. And if you back up a few verses, you'll also see that it says that Moses, in verse 22, "For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Moses prophesied of the time in which Peter was living. Samuel prophesied of that. All the prophets after Samuel. If you look back even further in this chapter, it says in verse number 16, "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong faith in Jesus Christ, whom you see, and now, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." I'm looking for another verse here. I'll just bypass it. But here we see that Samuel, the prophets after him, we see Moses, and the prophets are referenced somewhere else in this chapter as having all prophesied of these times, having all prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
of his sufferings. And here in verse 25 it says, "Ye are the children of the prophets." Again, they were Jewish. "And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed,
right,
shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed."
Mm-hmm.
You're of the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
I'm of the seed of Abraham, Peter says. Mm-hmm. We're all of the seed of Abraham. And God promised to our forefathers, promised to our prophets, that all the kindreds of the earth, all the families, all the nations of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. You see what he's trying to do? He's trying to get them to think, how is it that God intended to bless all nations? God didn't say, "I bless the Jewish nation." He said, "I'll bless all nations through Abraham. All kindreds. All families." How did God intend to do that? Through Jesus. That's what Peter's saying here.
Yes, sir.
Notice verse 26. "And unto you first, God." Unto you first, unto the Jewish nation first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Amen.
I don't know if that means as much to you all as it does me. But I just kind of get excited when God reveals to me things in the Scriptures. But here, what does He say to this Jewish crowd? How is it that God was intended to bless every nation, every tribe, every kindred on the earth? It was through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He sent Him, notice what it says, to bless you. Peter says to the Jewish nation, the Father sent the Son, Jesus Christ, to bless you. This is the fulfillment of the promise to our father Abraham. But that promise wasn't just to the Jews.
Amen.
It was to the Gentiles.
Amen.
God said, I'll bless all nations, Abraham, through you. How did God intend to do that? By sending His Son,
Amen.
Jesus Christ,
that's right,
to die for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Not just the Jewish nation. Not even for just an elect few.
That's right. Amen. That's right, preacher.
But for the entire world. It says in Galatians 3:14, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
That the blessing of Abraham, you hear that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen.
What blessing of Abraham? That blessing that God gave him back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. You see, God was preaching the gospel back then. Maybe not as specifically as He has preached in the New Testament. But God was preaching the gospel back then.
Yes, sir.
He was saying, I'm going to bless all nations through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through Him coming into this world through the lineage of Abraham and dying for the sins of the world and raising again from the grave.
Right.
So this is my application, my conclusion tonight. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed shall all nations of the earth be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know if that excites you as much as it does me,
but
God wants to bless you. That's what I see in all this. God wants to bless you. Peter here is preaching to the Jews, and what's he saying? Hey, God wants to bless you guys. Quit being so antagonistic towards the gospel. He sent Jesus into the world to save you.
Amen.
He's been telling you that all the way since Genesis chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys aren't listening.
Amen.
And God is extending His arms to the entire world today and saying salvation is not just of the Jews, it's for everybody.
Amen.
Or not just for the Jews, it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants to bless you. He wants to bless me. He wants to bless us through Christ.
Yeah.
I think most everybody would probably agree, God wants to bless them. But He wants to bless you through Jesus Christ. Points back to the lesson we learned from Cain. He tried to come to God on his own terms and it just didn't work. God will most definitely bless you, but only as you come to Him through the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So again, when we read Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, we read the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. You know, I'm assuming that text can be used today to lead a Jewish person to Jesus Christ.
Sure. Amen.
How is it that God intended to bless all nations? How is it? How would the Jew answer that? Well, the New Testament tells us He intended to do that through the person of Jesus Christ. And so again, the one thought that I want to emphasize and impress upon your minds tonight is this, that God does want to bless you. He does want to bless you if you'll come to Him through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word.
Amen.
Thank You for this wonderful portion of Scripture that tells us that You desire to bless us. Lord, we're thankful for the faithfulness of Abraham. We're thankful for the faith of Abraham and that he believed in what You said And Lord, we're grateful that the gospel is not just for one group of people, but it's for everybody. We're grateful that you desire to bless us through the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that if there is someone here tonight that's not saved, that they would realize you want to bless them, but that you can only do so as they repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So God, take the message tonight. Use it for thy glory, for the benefit of thy people, and use it to draw the lost unto thyself. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. Let's turn to hymn number 297. My Jesus, I love thee. 297.